Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan doing any online shopping, first go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon to start your shopping experience today. Today's episode is going to be Frontier Gentlemen. Original air dates, October 12th, 1958, and the title is Ace and the Eights. Hope you enjoy. The series almost done. Sad to see it go. Let's get into it. And again, thanks for listening.
In a card game, aces and eights are known throughout the West as a dead man's hand. There's a good reason for it, and this is the story of how the hand got its name.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just 1 minute, we will bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentleman. You know, the couple next door, simple, normal people whose ordinary experiences seem so much more amusing than our own. Well, if you haven't met these delightful young marrieds, by all means, make their acquaintance tomorrow and keep up with them every weekday when they come your way over CBS Radio. Alan Bunce and Peg Lynch, who play the couple next door, are heard over most of these same stations Monday through Friday. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall. Frontier Gentlemen.
I had gone into the store of an outfitter named Judd Scott in order to purchase a new pair of boots. His was a thriving place of business in Deadwood, and I had to wait a good half an hour before Mr. Scott was able to attend my needs. He was an affable, if somewhat talkative, gentleman, and his boots were first rate.
Sir, how's that feel? Seems right snug to me. You walk around in them.
Well, the left one might be a little tight. Yeah, here in the heel.
Oh, she'll ease up, mister. Gotta give the leather a chance to know you. Of course, now, if you got the time, I'm kind of pressed for the next couple of weeks, but if you got the time, I could make you a pair, finest in Dakota Territory.
I'm not sure how long I'll be here. No, I think these will do.
Yeah, take it off. I'll work it in softer for you. So, you're a newspaper correspondent, huh? We've had them come through, but none from England. Must be pretty interesting in your line of work.
Yes, it is, quite.
Guess folks back there get a lot of pleasure reading about things hereabouts.
You mean in Deadwood? Yes, I imagine it's interesting reading. At least I hope it is.
Take a long time for a man to run out of things to write about. You met Wild Bill Hickok yet?
Hickok? No.
Well, now, that surprises me. You heard of him, ain't you?
Well, I think so.
Oh, there's talk that folks around's wanting to put him up for marshal in Deadwood.
Really?
Fact. Ask Jack McCall, he knows. He told me.
Where would I be likely to find him?
Hickok ain't seen for a while. McCall, he's generally down to Carl Mann's saloon.
I bought the boots and then walked down the street to Carl Mann's saloon. Even though it was early, I was rather surprised to see that the place was practically empty. A hatchet-faced woman was drinking at the bar, and I found McCall, a broken-nosed, sullen-looking man, sitting at a table, playing a game of solitaire.
Yeah, that's me. Who's asking to know?
And J.B. Kendall.
What might your business be, J.B. Kendall?
Well, Judd Scott mentioned your name. He runs the general store down the street.
Judd Scott?
Yes, that's right.
Well, how come you want to talk with me?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm a newspaper correspondent. I write stories about what I see in the West.
kind of story you writing about in Deadwood?
Wild Bill Hickok. You know him?
Why don't you ask her?
Hmm?
Over at the bar. Calamity Jane. She figures she knows him better than most.
Well, thank you, I will. Perhaps I can buy you a drink after.
Sure, suit yourself. I ain't going nowhere.
Miss Jane?
You talking to me? The name's Calamity. Ain't no miss on it. Calamity Jane.
I'm sorry. I'm J.B. Kendall. A gentleman over there mentioned that you were a good friend of Wild Bill Hickok.
Who? That ain't no gentleman. That's a stinking pig by the name of Jack McCall. You've been sitting with him. Don't foul up the air around me. Hit the trail, mister.
Well, I was hoping you could introduce me to Mr. Hickok.
Hey, you English?
Yes.
Thought so. Knew an English feller down in Abilene. Wouldn't quit riding herd on me. Had to shoot him.
Oh.
New in town, ain't you?
Yeah, just arrived.
You ain't friend of McCall?
Oh, no, I only met him a few minutes ago.
What brings you?
Well, I'm a writer. Newspaper articles for the London Times.
You want to know about Hickok, huh? Guess you heard about me and Wild Bill, huh?
Oh, yes.
Fastest man with a gun you'll ever see. I ain't too bad myself, but I ain't nothing to Wild Bill. Come on over to the table, bring the bottle, and I'll tell you about me and Wild Bill.
Calamity Jane was a strange, almost masculine-looking woman, hard and rough-voiced. She told me of her exploits as a scout with General Crook's army in the war against the Sioux. But most of the time, she spoke of Hickok. About a half an hour had passed when I noticed Jack McCall get up from his table and come toward us.
Yes, sir. What Wild Bill done in Abilene, there ain't another man could have handled.
Miss, I thought she was going to buy me a drink.
Oh, not just now, Mr. McCall. I'm talking to the lady.
But I see it's mostly listening. Ain't nobody gets to talk much around her.
McCall! You want me to put your eyeballs out with this bottle you open that barn door of yours just once more?
Kendall, you come on down to the Boot Hill Saloon when you're through. I'll tell you the truth about that female polecat and a
wife. One of these days, me or Wild Bill's gonna pump that coyote full of lead. Except he ain't worth wasting a ball on. He ain't no good. His pals is worse. You ever run into Tim Brady or Johnny Varnes, you watch your step, mister. Them's two of the boys along with McCall that Wild Bill's gonna run out of this town when he gets to be marshal.
Where's Wild Bill now?
Up in the hills, working his claim. Him and his partner, Colorado Charlie. They ought to be back by tomorrow. He'd like to meet you, mister. Wild Bill always had a liking for you newspaper fellas. Oh, now, watch your hurry. Sit down. We'll split another bottle.
Oh, thank you. I think I'd better get settled. Wash some of this Dakota dust off me.
Ha, 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 what a dude. All right, go on up to the hotel. Tell them Calamity Jane sent you, and if they don't give you the best room, I'll shoot up the place.
The recommendation was most effective. I got the best room in the hotel. 2 hours later, in spite of Calamity Jane's warning, I wandered down to the Boot Hill Saloon. I was curious about McCall and what he might have to say about Calamity and Wild Bill Hickok. I found him there, very drunk. He was talking to a heavy-set man who was chewing on an unlit cigar. McCall greeted me as an old friend.
What do you say, Kendall? You had enough of that female one back, huh? Tim? Tim, this is the fellow I was telling you about. Kendall's his name.
Mr. Kendall, how are you? Tim Brady.
Mr. Brady, I owe Mr. McCall a drink. I came down to settle my debt.
That's real fine of you, Kendall. Tim Kendall's going to Deadwood to write a story about Wild Bill Hickok, the new marshal of Deadwood.
You go get yourself a drink, McCall.
Sure, Tim. The new marshal of Deadwood.
Please take the chair, Kendall. I wouldn't pay no heed to what McCall says. Not when he gets too much whiskey in him.
Did he say something?
About Hickok being marshal. Don't you believe it. The fellas around here, they don't want his kind. You go writing in your paper about a thing like that, you're going to have to turn right around and write it ain't true.
And he's not going to get the job?
Well, now I'll tell you. He does a lot of ear greasing, like that crowbait mare Calamity Jane. But all the things you hear are just a lot of brag. Now, Hickok never plugged a man less than a feller's back was turned. Now, I was down in Abilene when he dragged out Phil Cole. Was the worst thing you ever seen, shot him in the back. And by mistake, he goes and kills his own pal, Mike Williams. No, sir, Deadwood ain't going to put up a man like that for Marshall. You think so?
I don't know. I suppose it depends on how many want him.
There you are. Well, there's a lot of them miners up in the hills. They're the ones. They figure he's a real big man. They heard all them crazy stories about him. You want to know what I think?
Might be very interesting.
Well, now, I don't think he lasts 2 minutes as a marshal before somebody shot the daylights out of him. Yes, sir. Best thing for Hickok to do is to get out of Deadwood and stay out. And you see him, you tell him that.
Next night, Calamity Jane introduced me to Wild Bill Hickok. He looked older, more tired than I had imagined him. As we sat in his room, I noticed that he blinked his eyes, rubbed them, and seemed quite nervous, constantly glanced toward the door. Calamity had gone out to buy some food.
Me and Colorado Charlie, we had a rough week up in the hills. Kind of feels good to get back. You ever done any mining, Kendall?
Oh, very little.
Well, the best way is to get somebody else to do the work for you. Well, what do you think of Deadwood? Not much like London, I'll bet.
No, it isn't.
Well, do a little cleaning up like I did in Hayes City, Abilene. We'll have a right nice little town.
When do you expect to begin as marshal?
Any day now. The boys are getting things moving.
I saw a man yesterday, Tim Brady.
Brady?
He asked me to give you a message. Best thing for Hickok to do is to get out of Deadwood and stay out.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know why? They're afraid of me. They know what's going to happen after I get sworn in. I run them out. If they don't run, we have a showdown. Brady and his pal Varnes. They ain't got stomach for that.
I gather they're the somewhat unsavory element in Deadwood.
Mister, you ain't just milking pigeons. Them miners up in those hills, they'd be dead ducks for Brady and his gang, wasn't for me. This is the worst mining camp in the territory. Ain't been no law here since it started. Brady don't want none. That's how come the miners want me for marshal protection.
I'm surprised he hasn't tried to get rid of you before this.
That Jayhawker knows what had happened to him in a shoot-up. He ain't likely to try nothing. Fella like that gets somebody else to do his dirty work.
Hey! Oh, it's only me, Bill. Put away the gun.
Told you, Charlie ought to knock.
I keep forgetting.
So here's J.B. Kendall. Going to write a story about me for an English paper.
Yeah, I run into Calamity down at Carl's place, and she told me. Nice to meet you, Kendall.
And you, sir?
My old pal, Charlie Utter.
Colorado Charlie's good enough.
Kendall's been talking to Brady.
That's so? Rest your saddle, Bill. You make me tired, Stan.
Brady says I ought to get out of town.
Oh, he'd like that fine.
Yeah, he'd like that. Well, I guess I'll go wash up before Calamity gets back. Charlie, you staying around?
Yeah, I thought maybe we'd get down to Carl's later and play some cards.
All right. I'll be right back.
Sure. Got a lot on his mind, says Wild Bill. He ain't usually like this.
He seems to have trouble with his eyes.
Oh, you noticed it.
Yes.
I wouldn't want you to say nothing in front of Bill. He's been scared. He's going blind. Things sure don't seem like the old days. Oh, I gotta get these boots off. My feet's killing me.
How old is he?
But Wild Bill, and let me see, 39. Of course, to hear him talk, you'd think he's closer to 60. I sure do fret over him sometimes. Always talking about dying, this and that. Tain't like the old days. He sure was a rip snorter. Oh, well, maybe when he gets to be marshal, everything will be like it always was.
Calamity Jane came in with the food, and behind her, Bill Hickok. It was a strange supper. Both Colorado Charlie and Calamity kept up a stream of conversation, anecdotes singing the praise of Hickok's past accomplishments. But the atmosphere was strained. The man with the long hair didn't say very much. Afterwards, Charlie Utter invited me to accompany them to the saloon. I noticed that Hickok was reluctant. Possibly he had a feeling, a warning of what was to come. It was 8 o'clock when we arrived at Carl Mann's saloon and sat down at the card table.
Charlie, I'll change seats with me. I ain't sitting with my back to the door.
Oh, Wild Bill, you're getting worse than an old woman.
Maybe so, but that's the way it is. I like to see what's coming in.
Well, here, take my place if you like.
No, sir. All he wants is a catbird seat. That's how come he's always winning. You ain't moving, Bill.
You got the right idea, Charlie. Wild Bill, you got your seat, and that's the way it's going to be. Carl, bring us a bottle of whiskey and a deck of cards. Marshall Hickok's going to be the big loser tonight.
Who's the man with the genial good humor, fairly twinkling away behind the outsized eyeglasses? Robert Q, that's who. Who's the man whose mischievous variety show is yours to enjoy every weekday evening and Saturdays in the daytime, too? Robert Q, that's who. Tomorrow evening, again, over most of these same stations, enjoy CBS Radio's refreshing Robert Q. Lewis Show with its music, songs, and fun.
It was a friendly game, and we could see Hickok beginning to relax. He was a good player and held more than his share of winning hands. But while the game went on, there was something happening down the street in the Boot Hill Saloon. We didn't know it then, but after it was too late, we heard what had taken place. Three men sat in a back room, one of them drinking heavily. This was Jack McCall. The other two were Tim Brady and Johnny Varnes, the leaders of the Toughs in Deadwood.
I'm telling you, Jack, you'll be a big man.
Why, sure. They'll look at you when you walk down the street. You know, they'll say, there goes Jack McCall.
Yeah, sure.
Why, he killed Wild Bill Hickok.
Now, you hear what Johnny says?
Yeah, yeah. Here, give me another drink, boy, huh?
Why, sure.
You know,
here, give him a drink.
He's in Carl's place right now. You could get him easy.
Might not be so easy.
Oh, Jack, you ain't afraid, are you?
Oh, afraid?
Are you sure?
I ain't afraid, but it just won't be so easy, that's all.
Of course, we could get somebody else to do it. We just figured, now, Tim listen. And me. No, we figured that you was a
I
man for the job.
I won't do it, see?
Now, Johnny, let me tell you, you know what we could do?
What?
We could maybe get that there newspaper fellow. You know, Kendall, he could write something about Jack in his paper.
Sure.
How'd you like that, Jack? In an English paper, it says there, Jack McCall shoots down Wild Bill Hickok. Why, you could go on the stage and make a lot of money over that. Sure.
He's right down the street, Jack. I seen him myself. And you know what? Yeah. He's sitting with his back to the door.
Well, now, you listen to me. How come if you was there, you didn't plug him yourself?
Oh, Johnny, it ain't no use. He don't understand.
No, forget it, Jack. Now, look.
Go on, get out of here.
I'll just ask him, that's all. Just tell me, huh? How come?
Because Calamity Jane and Colorado Charlie's with him. If they seen me, they'd know something was wrong.
That's right.
But not you, Jack. They wouldn't figure you drawn on Hickok.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Sure
well,
does.
That's all I want to know. I just want to know is why, that's all.
Well, Jack, what do you say?
Well, sure. Sure, why not? Sure.
Huh? All right, give him a gun, Johnny. And don't you miss, boy, you hear?
Three kings.
He's beat you, Wild Bill.
He'd be a son of a gun if he hasn't. I had you pegged for no more than two pair.
Kendall ain't the best player I seen, but he's sure a lucky one. All right, deal him out, Calamity.
Yeah, all right.
You know, I knew a fellow once down in Hayes City. He drew two cards to a royal. Luckiest thing I ever seen.
Well, that's a loco thing for a man to do.
Oh, sure, sure it was. He took one look at his hand, he killed over plum day.
You know, I had a hand something like that. I won a Chinese girl with it a few months ago in Deer Lodge.
Chinese? Mm-hmm. No kidding. What'd you do with her?
Oh, I gave her to a man I knew. He married her.
Oh, yeah. I'll open for a dollar.
Wait, wait, wait. Staying.
Staying. Me too.
I ain't proud. There. Cards?
Well, I'll take three, Clement.
Kendall?
Two, please.
Okay, one.
Now, there's a man's gonna drop dead if he pulls it right.
How about you, Charlie?
Oh, let me see. Two.
Gila takes three.
Here's an honest woman.
That's one thing I ain't and never hope to be. Your bet, Wild Bill.
All right, friends. I tell you, I'll make this just a little rough on you. $2.
All right. I call.
Not me. I ain't dropping dead, neither.
I'll see you.
I'm a sucker. All right. What have you got, Wild Bill?
The prettiest two pair you ever seen. Aces and eights.
Wild Bill Hickok slumped forward on the table. He still had the winning smile on his face, and the cards crumpled in his tightening fist. It was Calamity Jane who found Jack McCall. He was hiding in a butcher shop nearby. Colorado Charlie and I dragged him away before she had a chance to use the meat cleaver she was holding. We found 6 cartridges in McCall's gun. The only one to fire was the first, the one that killed Hickok. The other 5 were defective. Before I left Deadwood, McCall was tried for murder. But Brady and Barnes must have chosen the jury themselves, because the final verdict was not guilty.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Virginia Gregg, Jack Moyles, Jack Crucian, Stacey Harris, and Vic Perrin. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
Back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, OTRWesterns.com/Twitter. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Don't forget to rate this show on iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode's copyright 2013 under the attribution non-commercial share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Pretty much that just means give me credit for putting it out there. Hope you enjoy. Again, thanks for listening and have a great day.